stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not gone and checked it out, you need to check out the Warp Tool at warp.life. That is WORP.LIFE. I'm going to be talking about an update to the tool here today that I'm hoping to have out by the time this episode goes live on Saturday morning. What the update is it adds in a little bit of extra stuff to the roster construction tabs. Notably, it adds how many optimal starters you want per week. And so that is very useful for helping you get an idea of how many at each position you might want to have on your team, or what the number is for how many players are relevant at that position each week. As an example, in a specific league, you might see a number that says RBs is 3.5. What that would mean for a standard 12-team league is that there's 42 running backs on any given week that are relevant, and that give you positive warp on that week. Where that becomes important is in your lineup leagues. You know that the top 42 running backs on any given week are going to be useful, and they're the ones that you should probably be starting. And so when you're trying to make that decision on that backup running back who might have some opportunity this week, or maybe that 1B, is he worth it? Is it worth having a guy, say, like Tyjae Spears, still started on your team even if Tony Pollard is still there and healthy? Well, if he's a top 42 running back on the week, then you should go ahead and start him. But if they're going against a tough defense and he's not, well, then maybe you should have him be riding the bench. Those are the kinds of decisions that portion is going to be able to help you with. And then the other one is the weekly minimum scores. What that is telling you the number of points on average for the replacement player at any given position. What this can help you with is understanding if there's a position that should always be started or potentially should never be started in a certain spot in your lineup. And that's the number that I'm going to be talking about this episode. So that way you get an idea of how I am planning to use this in my leagues. So let's start with just a standard 12-team lineup start nine. Okay? We have a quarterback. The replacement level quarterback is 8.39. That's the number of points scored by the replacement level quarterback on average any given week. Now, if we compare that to the running back, tight end, and wide receiver, I said the quarterback is 8.39. The running back is 4.29. Notice that huge difference. Wide receiver is 4.67. And tight end is 3.48. So what this means is that on average, that quarterback, you want to, if you have the 25th quarterback, he's going to be scoring more points than the wide receivers and running backs. So that means you want to have that quarterback jammed into your super flex spot, basically at all times. That is something that you should be planning for. That is something that is a huge difference for your teams that you should be saying, I need to have this guy in my lineup. And I need to have this position filled by that position. You don't want to be sitting there saying, oh, I can fill that with a running back or a wide receiver or something like that, because that value discrepancy is just so, so large. Same thing happens when you see a number that's significantly lower. Notice I said tight end was 3.48. whereas running back is 4.29 and wide receiver is 4.67. So what this means is that that tight end is significantly worse than the other two positions. And so you don't want to be putting those tight ends into your flexes. And if we think about this, what do we know about start nine, no tight end premium leagues? You start the tight ends in your tight end spot, and nobody ever flexes one. You've got one flex spot, assuming it's a start three wide receiver, or it's two flex spots if it's start two wide receiver. But there's not room for a tight end in there. The only reason you should be starting a tight end in that spot is if you're dominating your league and creating a scarcity issue at the top end of tight end. Say you own yourself the George Kittle and Brock Bowers combination. Well, yeah, I can understand starting one of those two guys in your flex spot then. But that's only because you have such a stud at the tight end position that you've essentially made it that you can go thinner at the other positions in terms of how you're trying to play them into your lineup. So that's what this is supposed to help you with. That's what this information that will be up on the Warp Tool is there for. And so with that, I'm going to talk through a couple different scoring settings, kind of revisit a little bit that tight end roster cloggers conversation I was talking about, and then we're going to look at a couple different league types in general and talk about what this looks like in those and how that changes some of how I'm going to be playing my leagues. So let's start with the tight end premium conversation. So I mentioned no tight end premium. That tight end number is 3.48. It 1.5 tight end the PPR. So still PPR league, but you give a 0.5 bonus to the tight ends. You end up with a tight end number that jumps up to 3.98. It's still below that of the running backs and wide receivers. The running backs are 4.4, wide receiver 4.6. And that discrepancy, it seems to exist for a decent amount. So what I'm kind of looking for it to say that a position is the same more or less as another position is that it's going to be within like 0.3 of a point of the other position. There is just some variance in week to week how these players end up producing their replacement level. And so that's why you see the numbers different, even though they're filling the same flex spot in the lineup. At 1.75 tight end premium, we see that the running back is at 4.4, the tight end is at 4.1, and the wide receiver is at 4.6. 1.75 is where we tend to discuss as like the true point where, hey, these tight ends, they do actually start to matter here. They are a position that you can reasonably toss a couple of those guys into the flex if you have some decent ones. And the reason that this makes a ton of sense is because of the 2.0 tight end premium. Funnily enough, at 2.0 tight end premium, the replacement level tight end, the average replacement value, actually goes down by 1/100 of a point. And so I feel like I need to explain how that could possibly happen. How can a tight end, like the tight ends are scoring more, the replacement level tight end has to be getting better, right? Well, the way it actually works out is the replacement level tight end is not the same one as it is in 1.75. You have these tight ends that are increasing and putting themselves into the flex. And so what happens is, on average, these tight ends are getting, the ones that are in replacement level, get a tiny bit weaker. And because they get a tiny bit weaker, they're a weaker tight end, they don't score as many points. That 0.25 tight end premium difference, it's not enough to make up that full point differential. And so you end up with the tight end replacement mathematically has gone down, even though we know that more tight ends are hitting the starting lineup. And so what we end up with is we see that the 1.75 and 2.0, they're basically the same. in the replacement players in terms of the number of points. And so what that means in this situation is, hey, we've reached the point where the tight ends actually matter. At 1.75, they start to matter, and you can see in 2.0, it's basically the same. And so that is how we know we've reached that point of inflating the tight ends enough where they are a difference. Now, the important thing to note is that the difference between that tight end replacement value and that wide receiver replacement value is still a full 0.58. So we do have a little bit of a difference of almost 0.6 points between those two positions. And I mentioned earlier that I'm looking at 0.3 as being like where I'm kind of capturing it. That 0.3 ends up being the difference between the running backs and the tight ends. And so what I'm looking for is, can I encompass everything into that 0.6 total range? 0.3 on either side of the median, quote unquote. That's kind of how I'm going to know that I have everything captured in terms of, hey, these positions are just replacing each other willy-nilly. The points are basically the same at the replacement level end. Now, let's jump over to some best ball leagues. In best ball leagues, we have a significant increase in the scoring of those replacement players. We all know this in best ball, but it's interesting to see just how stark of a difference that is. So remember, back in a no tight end premium lineup, we had the quarterback score of 8.39, running backs 4.29, tight ends 3.48, and wide receivers 4.67. When we go to best ball, those numbers increase where quarterback is 11.15, almost a full 3-point difference. Running back is 9.62, that's almost a 5.5-point difference. Tight end, 9.22, that's almost a full 6-point difference. And wide receiver, it becomes 9.73, which is slightly more than a full 5-point difference. So with all those increases, we're able to see that there's a huge boost to that lower end scoring because of best ball. And we all know this. We all know that, hey, in best ball, you know, you're going to get these replacement level weeks out of a bunch of players. That's why we rostered them on our benches. But for that lower end, what the replacement level player is, it's already bumping you up by 5 points. And so that's why you can see how important it is to have actual quality depth in a best ball league, because you're missing out on 5 points in the very bottom of your team, which is just going to add on to all the other players in your lineup. Whereas if you are running very thin, if you have a bunch of really strong players and you miss out on one of those weeks, now all of a sudden your replacement level, you're just straight missing out on 5 points. If you're looking at how these players are going to fit into your lineup, if you're getting a spike week, well, usually a spike week from even a player on your bench is more than replacement level. And so those spike weeks are going to give you a difference where, hey, that wide receiver, it wasn't replacement level in a lineup league for them to score 7 points. But in a best ball league, not only are they below replacement level, you might have that 7 point in your normal lineup league be, say, a better flex spot, or your wide receiver 3. And in best ball, they shouldn't even be in your lineup at all. So this is just one quick way to say, hey, yeah, depth is king in best ball. But going back to what I'm talking about here in this specific league, the quarterback, because it is 11.15, and everything else is down in the mid-9s, it means that you still want to be starting 2 quarterbacks on any given week. But notice how our points were higher. They were higher by almost 3 points. That means we probably need to be having that 3rd quarterback starting in our lineup if we want to consistently be getting above replacement level out of our quarterbacks. We need to make sure that we're not stuck below that quarterback 24 mark because we have the best ball ability to just sub in whoever's doing good that week. Now, the running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, they are within that 0.6 threshold that I established earlier. And as I go through increasing the tight end premium, You go from up to 1.5 tight end PPR, up to 1.75, 2.0. The scores on of replacement level for running back, tight end, and wide receiver all do increase as that goes on. And it just goes to show that, hey, the tight end, it does matter on a week-to-week basis at replacement level, and it's not something where it is below the other positions. So that's why in a best ball league, you need to make sure you have rostered some decent tight ends. You can't go fishing in the full waiver wire fodder waters that you might be able to do in a lineup league. The lineup replacement and no tight end premium, where you're sitting there looking at, I just need somebody that's going to score 3.5 points this week. Well, that doesn't work when you need somebody on your team who's going to score 9.2. That means you have to nail, more than likely, a tight end who's going to catch a touchdown. The waiver wire fodder that I talk about each week on my podcast during the season, I'm not usually aiming for touchdowns out of those guys. I'm trying to find the tight end who's going to catch 2 passes. That's all I'm aiming for. And so that's the reason that you need to at least invest some amount in the tight end position, even in a best ball league. Now, another thing that I wanted to look at was 2 tight end leagues with no tight end premium. What does that look like for when you're trying to fill that second tight end spot? So, when you're looking at that, let's go back to, all right, we've got our quarterback of 8.48, running back becomes 3.94, wide receiver is 4.16. So pretty clearly, quarterback, you want to start in your super flex. We understand that in lineup leagues. Running back and wide receiver, yeah, that makes sense. They're about each other, right around that 4 mark. The tight end, it becomes 2.16. That replacement level tight end, that waiver wire fodder, is all of a sudden, like, real, real important. Because you can actually probably beat that 2.16 if you're smart off of waivers. Now, of course, I'm saying this, like, every tight end is not already owned in 2 tight end lineup leagues. Which, realistically, a lot of them are. I play in enough of them to know that those waivers are barren. There's, even though they don't score anything, everyone has them because they're hoping that they have the guy who's going to actually be relevant. But you don't need to get yourself caught in a huge trap trying to get relevant tight ends in that 2 tight end league. You probably still need to match your league mates and have a couple guys who are eh on your team. I'm using eh to describe players who are in a crappy timeshare, who are potentially those blocking tight ends that just happen to see the field a bunch. But they can still be extremely relevant to your team. They can still fill a role and not be setting a position on your team to below replacement levels. Now, to look at some league types that are a little bit different. A lot of people have been talking about Scott Fishbowl. My Scott Fishbowl draft is still going on. I have what I think is probably one of the slowest drafts out there. And all the way down in the 16th round, I abandoned my basically running back and tight end only strategy, and I ended up drafting an Aaron Rodgers. Now, why would I draft Aaron Rodgers all the way down there in the 16th round? Well, the reason becomes, what do I need for replacement level? And when you look at the numbers for the Scott Fishbowl, it says, in terms of optimal starters, that you should be starting nearly 2 quarterbacks every single week. And if you look at the weekly minimum scores in terms of, hey, how many players, or how many points are the replacement level player, the quarterback is 12.58, the running back's down at 8.5, tight end 7.58, and wide receiver 8.92. So you see that those values are way lower on a week-to-week basis. And the reason that I ended up going and getting a quarterback is because at the 16th round, you're at the point of, at least in my league, I was fishing almost, I was in the really crappy backup running backs or the running back 3s. And so if I'm fishing in those waters and I still had an Aaron Rodgers, who's a starting quarterback who has the possibility of becoming a consistent quarterback 20 to 25 on any given week, then I might as well do that because the points are a little bit better than replacement. And when I get to bye weeks in the middle of the season, and also with just how my team is built already, it made sense to do that. I have what I would call 9 for sure weekly starters. I have 1 starter that I'm fine with, and then I'm trying to fill that last spot in my lineup. Well, in the 16th round, getting somebody that can solidify that, at least for week 1, until the rest of the running backs on my team, who I've been drafting, those high-value backups, start to be able to get starts, start playing a little bit more, things like that, I'm able to at least keep that position like up to snuff. With Scott Fishbowl specifically, you are graded based on your average performance over the course of the season. So I can't just completely abandon week 1 and hope to build a monster by the time playoffs come around. I still want to have as good of a score in week 1 because that'll help me out at least a little bit when it comes to the playoffs. Now let's look at another league that I have been doing the startup for. The league is called TA7, if you want to look at my warp charts for it. And it shows that already when you look at the graph, hey, these quarterbacks are really valuable. But when you look at the roster construction portion, you really see what you're missing out on if you are not starting a quarterback in the Superflex. The quarterback position on the replacement level quarterback on a week-to-week basis is 22.88 points. Now, that already sounds like a lot based on everything that I was telling you with the previous positions, and yeah, it is quite a bit, but scoring's also boosted in various ways in this league. But then you compare it to the other positions. The other positions' replacement players are 2.89 for the running backs, 2.79 for the tight ends, and 3.01 for the wide receivers. That means if you have a replacement level player at the running back, tight end, or wide receiver, and you have to start one of those guys in your super flex instead of a quarterback because of a bye week or injuries or whatever, you're missing out on nearly 20 points. That's crazy. And so that's why in that league, if you go and look this up, hopefully the draft is finished, but realistically, I know it probably hasn't by Saturday. We're moving pretty slow. But I ended up with 3 first-round picks after a flurry of trades. Note that I had 3 first-round picks, and I don't think I picked again until, like, the 9th round. But I had 3 first-round picks. I drafted 3 quarterbacks. And so that's what you need in this kind of league. And it's something that shows just how important it is to have that quarterback in the Superflex, because it is that difference of 20 points. And so you see on the warp chart, yeah, the quarterback is the most valuable, but you see it cross over the running back and wide receiver line around running back and wide receiver 18. Like quarterback 18 versus those two, quarterback 19 is the same as running back 19. Wide receiver 19 is technically slightly higher than quarterback 19 as well. So like, right there at that inflection point, you'd be like, okay, well, maybe I don't need to worry about as much about, you know, quarterback 24 versus I can, if you look at the warp chart, that quarterback 24, well, it's the same thing. It's slightly lower as wide receiver 34. But when you talk about the fact that you have to basically start a quarterback in your superflex, those quarterbacks are way higher than if you were just straight looking at a warp chart. And so that's the kind of thing that you have to pay attention to. And this helps give a little bit more context around, hey, I need to pay even more attention to this. At some point, I hope to have something that helps you figure out just how important a position is over another, regardless of just looking at the chart and looking at this data, so that way you can get an idea of just raw value, like, hey, that quarterback 24 is more important to have than just about anything else. But not quite there yet. That's hard to put into numbers. Right now, we kind of have to go off of intuition and learning it. And so that's what I'm trying to impart to you here. Now, the last one that I want to talk about is a league that is called Coupa Talk. The reason I'm choosing this one is because I knew it would be way different than all the other leagues. And the reason for that is because I made these settings to be the most absurd things possible. You can actually start four quarterbacks in this league if you want. The kick return scoring is absolutely crazy. Yardage is way stronger in this league compared to touchdowns, because even though touchdowns are worth the normal six, it's 5 yards to a point. There's all sorts of craziness here. And so what that gives us in terms of the weekly minimum scores is something way different. In this case, it's that the replacement level quarterback is 2 points, whereas the running backs, it's 13.6, tight ends, 12.8, and wide receivers, 13.8. So what does this tell us? This tells us in this league, yeah, I need to have two quarterbacks to fill out my two quarterback spots. But realistically, I'm not missing out on that many points if my quarterback two ends up not really doing anything. They're barely below replacement level. Whereas these running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, those are the guys that I need to make sure that I have a bunch of good ones. Now, it's helpful in this league that I have kick return yards. But my expectation when I created this league was that with the new kick return rules, that we'd end up seeing 3 kick returns per game for decent kick returners. And so I was hoping that, hey, I might be able to get some replacement level performances out of these guys. And if you do the math, say an average kick return comes out about 25 yards, you get 3 of those per game, you get 75 yards, or in this case, that's 15 points. So that means my standard kick returner is going to get me slightly above that replacement player level. And so those guys become valuable in terms of, hey, if they are consistently getting 3 kick returns, and sometimes they get 4, maybe even 5 if they're on a team with a bad defense, well, they're going to be able to get you points that you know are above replacement level. So you can use this to help figure out some archetypes of, like, hey, what kind of player is counting as above replacement level here? How many points should I expect from them on a weekly basis? This can also help for when you're trying to decide between, hey, do I get another wide receiver, or do I get start just going into these backup running backs? Well, if your replacement level wide receiver is scoring, say, 8 points, and you know you're staring down the barrel of, I'm going to draft a guy here who, what do I think is a normal week for him? Normal is probably like 3 receptions for 40 yards. Well, if that's normal, he's scoring 7 points. Whereas this backup running back, I know that he's somebody that if he gets the start, I'm expecting him to score 15. I think he's going to be able to get about 80 yards. I think maybe you got a point per carry, a little bonus in there, and that he's got a 60% chance of scoring a touchdown. Well, then that becomes the better player to draft, because in a lineup league, you know that when you're putting him in, he's going to be above replacement. When you're drafting that wide receiver, well, it makes no sense to draft that player because you're putting them in for an expectation that is below replacement. The only reason you would put that wide receiver in is if you thought, for whatever reason, I think this wide receiver is going to do better than his average on this week, which is sometimes something that you can do, but it's a lot harder to do with the wide receiver position compared to the running back, because the running back is so much based on opportunity, whereas the wide receiver just kind of feels a lot more like variance. Whereas the opposite can be true when you're talking best ball leagues, where if you're trying to decide between, hey, is this wide receiver worth it? Well, I think that his ceiling on, say his average is 3 receptions for 40 yards, but his ceiling easily can be 5 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. All of a sudden, I know that is still above replacement because my wide receiver replacement's around, like, say, 11 points in this hypothetical best ball scenario. And I know that I'm getting 8 or 9 points above that. So that's somebody that I can target. Whereas the running back, probably more than likely 15 of the games, he's not useful. He's a zero on my team. And in best ball, that's something that you want to stay away from. So that's how you can kind of use these values in order to help you out when you're trying to decide between a couple different players. And notice, I'm not saying specific players as to who is what. Fill in your own assumptions. If you think that a player has the potential to do something, treat them like that. But just be realistic in how many points they can score. How many points do you think they will score based on that role on their team? How does that fit into fantasy? And how does that fit into your league specifically? Are they above replacement, below replacement, right at replacement? Is it a best ball league where you want to include the variance, or a lineup league where you don't? And that's how you utilize the new weekly minimums, and then the weekly optimal starters kind of integrates in with that as well to let you know, hey, the top 36 running backs and the top 42 wide receivers are who you want on your team in any given week. And so check your guys, make sure they're within those rankings. Make sure that your variance expectation in best ball leagues is that they can get to that point. Don't necessarily go out there and be rostering the random players where, hey, I need it to be a top 12 tight end this week. Well, maybe that third tight end on the New York Giants is probably not going to be that guy for you. You probably need to have somebody a little better who has a chance at overcoming that threshold. So that's the kind of stuff that is important to have an understanding of when you're looking at your leagues. And that's what this new update for the Warp tool is going to give you. Once again, if you want to check it out, go to warp.life, that's warp.life, in order to check it out. You can contact me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.